What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Save Data Cast episode 15 for the week of July 30th, the last week of July. I am David, your host, and on this podcast, we go through gaming news, gaming topics, discussions, previews, what we've been playing, all that jazz. And this week, we're going to talk about the giant elephant in the room of the gaming industry right now, and that's Activision Blizzard. So we're going to talk about that and how we think journalists and stuff should approach Activision Blizzard and like influencers and podcasters and stuff like us. Before we get to any of that, though, joining me as always, our fearless captain, it's Zach.
The captain rides again. How is it already August? How did this happen?
It's what not, it's July. Year?
How could I know, this happen but... to me? I've made my mistakes. There's nowhere to run.
Real talk, I've been unemployed for like 2 months now. It doesn't feel like that long. At all.
Is that because money isn't real?
No, it's just like time has just passed.
I was just checking. You know,
it's not real if your name is Bobby Kotick, but worth $600 million. How? That's sick.
That man questioning the reality of money, that over there, that's Chris.
Hello.
The man questioning money is the nickname.
That's I'm okay with that.
Before we get to our topic of the show, and probably right on time for British to join us a little late, let's just go over Fantasy Critic first. I feel like there's been some movement here, and we've got some new news like this past week too. So
just today,
yeah. Today, yesterday, a couple times. So let's see here. In terms of pickups, I think the only one who picked anything up was me. So I dropped Rainbow Six Extraction because that got delayed mere weeks after they announced the date. So that's cool. Thanks, Ubisoft.
Yeah.
And somebody fucked up. Yeah, they probably did. In its place, I picked up Lost Judgment. So sequel to Judgment, which did pretty well, and Lost Judgment looks pretty good too.
I think that's a safe like mid-80 pick.
I mean, mid-80s is pretty good for Fantasy Critics, so I'm going to take it.
Wait, what happened to the whole that game's not coming out thing?
No, sequels to the game. It's not going to come out. Steam. Yeah. So Sega will likely drop the franchise because the guy playing the lead is...
Right.
They can't make more money off the games if he's in it in the future.
But the game's already like done at this point, so they might as well release it for PlayStation and stuff.
I'm guessing they will continue the series and just change the protagonist, though.
I would assume.
I would be shocked if they didn't.
That's a very Yakuza thing to do, and they just this year announced that that's replacing Yakuza as their action adventure. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's no way that franchise is going away. It'll just have a new protagonist.
Punch the shit on my microphone. Sorry,
I didn't hear it.
Yeah,
amazing Discord.
It did a good job blocking it. Let's see. In terms of stuff getting delayed and not coming out, we got a few. So, Chris, I think for you, Warhammer 40K Darktide got delayed. That's not coming out this year.
Oh, it's not coming out this year. I thought it was delayed till later this year.
I think they delayed it to spring because it says will not release on Fantasy Critic. So
abandoned ship.
Ripperinos to that one. Let's
that
see.
One. Fuck.
This is not confirmed by Sony yet, and since this came out this morning, this wasn't on Around the Monitor yesterday. Horizon Forbidden West is being reported by a couple different outlets to be delayed to next year. That's
my
fucking score. Likely not coming. Could shock us and still come out in spite of Jason Schreier and Jeff Grubb, but usually when both of them say a thing, it's true.
No,
so
that's hard facts at this
point. I have Jason Schreier muted on Twitter because
he can be kind of a dick. So
and he can be a dick, but enough people retweeted it that I saw his version before I saw Jeff Grubb. And
that's amazing.
I don't have Jeff Grubb muted. Hey, we stalled long enough.
We got Pridge.
Oh, we got the boy Pridge.
Hello. How's that going?
We're good. We started a little late. We're just doing a fantasy update.
Oh, cool.
Everything's delayed.
Well, while you're working on the camera situation, just looking now at the games we don't have selected and the quote-unquote hype factor that is on Fantasy Critic for them, The number one is Cuphead the Delicious Last Course.
Which, no way that's coming out that year.
Yeah, which technically has a release window of this year. Y'all, it's not coming this year. There is no way in hell that game is coming this year.
Not a chance. And No More Heroes 3 is the next one, which is surprising.
Is wild. That's going to be a 7 out of 10 game. I'll still buy it, probably, because I said I would. Because
it's No More Heroes.
And then after
that, I didn't play the other one, but yeah. This is the actual game I want, or said I wanted, so.
After that, Call of Duty, which honestly bounces between like 70 and 85, so that one's not like a safe bet. It's coming out, but...
Yeah.
And then, surprisingly, the Tales game is fourth, so there is not a lot left in this.
And then, like, fucking number five is Final Fantasy 16. Y'all, it's not coming out this year.
And
Bayonetta 3 is number six. That's also not coming out this year.
I think I might have had Final Fantasy 16 and used my drop for it, because basically, it's at that point where people thought it was going to come this year, and Square never actually confirmed whether or not it was, so...
I will say,
and then they didn't talk about it at E3, so it's definitely not coming.
It's not coming. It's just like people might not be able to drop it too.
Wait! That Guardians of the Galaxy game is coming out this year.
Yeah.
Same day, Chris, as Solar Ash, which got a release date of October 26th.
Yeah, there are actually quite a few good games still to be picked up. So
Sable is still on the pickup board.
You know, it's also on the pickup, Atomic Heart, a game that's definitely not coming out this year.
Ah, dude, come on.
Actually, you know, it's also still on here. Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl.
Ooh, that's a risky one, because that could really pay off.
It's not going to get good scores.
What do you mean that could really pay off? That game's going to be garbage.
What if it's awesome?
Is what?
I think it might. Garden Story?
I don't even know what the fuck that is.
I know what that is.
It's a cutesy... God damn it. What the hell is the name of that game?
I just realized I'm 2 for 2 on the year of...
It doesn't matter.
Of counterpicking something that absolutely just isn't going to come out.
I mean, that's a pretty good counterpick.
Yeah, that's the best counterpick you could have.
Yeah.
Now, last year I gained points. Didn't help me in the long run, but I gained points from Pokemon Mystery Dungeon.
Oh yeah, it was a
well
good pick.
Played. Yeah,
it was a good pick.
All right, I got Pridge in here. I guess welcome to the show, Pridge the Fridge Pridgetel. Congratulations. Yo, for joining us.
Hey. keeping it cool as always.
Hey guys, is Skateboard coming out this year?
Yeah, I think they just announced a delay, but it was like a month or something.
Okay, thank God. I can't live.
I mean, that's not going to get you. You knew that's not going to get you any points, though, right?
you're begging for a 70 on that one.
The perfect 100, Skatebird.
Yeah, no.
Critics love it. It changed their lives.
Oh my God.
Jason Schreier says, "Once in a millennium, this game."
All right, let's see. Did anything else? Oh, Death Store came out for Pridge. That's in at an 87, so that's doing pretty well for Pridge.
I'm shocked. From what I've heard, I'm shocked it's that low.
I mean, 87 is really good.
From playing it, I think it's actually a little high, but I really love the game. I just don't think it's quite that good. I would give it an 85 for me, which means for Open Critics.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's pretty reasonable.
Yeah. I've heard people, you know, people are like undertailing it, where like, this is God's gift to the video.
Oh, game. I have not heard that. It's definitely not. I haven't heard that level of love.
Undertale is the better game, but this game is really good.
Oh, no. I meant like they're just hyping it up like crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, people are hyping it. I think part of that is just this year doesn't have a banger. Totally. No, there's a ton this year. There just isn't the one banger game.
That's true.
And so a game that's like an 85, 87, 88.
I mean, Ratchet did.
Is high up there. Yeah, people loved Ratchet. That's what I mean. Like, people talked about Ratchet a ton and Returnal and Resident Evil. It Takes Two.
And Death Store.
Those are all the high ones. So, like, those are the ones people really standing.
Excuse you, Scarlet Nexus?
Listen, I love Scarlet Nexus and I stand that game. A lot of people do not like it.
Ooh.
They're wrong, but they don't like that game.
What we said last night on the hit podcast local chat. Sounds pretty good.
Listen, if you like anime bullshit, play Scarlet Nexus.
I like Nier.
You'll like Scarlet Nexus, probably.
There you go.
All right. I think that's it for Fantasy Critic. I don't think there's anything else really to catch up on.
It was just games that I had coming out.
Yeah.
We were partway through on yours, Bridge.
Yeah, no, I know.
My first game is coming in a couple of weeks.
You have zero?
Yeah.
No games.
I have zero right now.
Technically, he has negative 10.
Technically, I have negative 10. Technically, I have negative 10. And then next month, I get 12 Minutes Psychonauts 2. And then the following month, I get Deathloop, Lost Judgment, and then a bunch of other stuff. So all my stuff's later after the year.
Four more games.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, some of them are bangers, though. Yeah.
You know, I'm starting to get worried that, like, half of my games aren't going to come out.
Oh, half your games are not going to come out.
Yeah, Zach, more than half are not coming out.
You're not getting Ruined King of League of Legends Story, and you're probably not getting Boyfriend Dungeon, and you're not getting Horizon Forbidden West.
Well, I know that now. It would be great if they would officially announce yeah. that, so I could release them.
Ruined King? I'm almost certain they did officially announce that.
No, they didn't.
Didn't they say no more Riot Games this year?
I think they might have said presentations, but that's not if you find an article for it, I can like message the guy and be like, hey, he said this isn't coming, and he can update it. So
no, that's true.
Whatever. With that, let's get into what we've been playing. Zach, what have you been playing?
I think me and Pridge have been playing two games together. One of which is Pokemon Unite. The new Pokemon MOBA.
Oh, I forgot about
I actually am pretty into this game, and it could just be because it's the first MOBA in a long time that I'm pretty good at compared to the rest of the player base. My win rate is currently about 70%, and I've been playing the game for almost 20 hours now.
Zach is out there literally beating children.
For those of you that have never played a MOBA like League of Legends or Dota, or 70% win rate is
that's a lot.
Statistically almost impossible.
Yeah, it's I'm pretty
but
pretty
not in Pokemon Unite where the rules don't matter, baby.
Yeah. Well, it's just like now when I get into ranked games, because I'm starting to climb the ladder now, most of the people who are playing the game at least know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. If you go into normals, like, you'll have somebody who, like, you'll finish the game, usually when you finish the game you're around like 14-15 level 14-15, and like, you'll have people who are like at level 4 still, like they're not killing mobs, they're not leveling up, so they just do no damage and they die instantly. They don't know what they're doing. We've talked about the monetization. I don't want to belabor that point here. Point of the story is, it's a lot of fun. It's definitely simple. The one thing I will say is, like, the controls set up naturally are so dumbed down. I had no idea until I was like watching a video on YouTube. It was like, hey, here are the settings that you should change. And I did that, and I was like, oh, this feels way better now.
Oh, just like, I'm just curious, like, what?
So there is a thing in there naturally to, like, choose which Pokemon your moves target naturally. And it is set to, like, the worst thing. It's, like, whatever is closest to you, and that's almost never the case. That's not true. There are a lot of situations where that is the case, but there are a lot of situations where, like, that's not. And, like, there have been situations where I'm trying to engage with an enemy Pokemon, and there happens to be a wild Pokemon nearby that I just happen to walk slightly closer to, and I'm trying to use my ability to attack this Pokemon, and instead it auto-targets the wild Pokemon, and I'm like, well, I just lost the fight because now my move's on cooldown for 7 seconds. but, like, there's that. What was the other ones that they had? There's one for, like, specifically dash moves that, like, and here's the thing. If you hold the button, then you can use the right joystick to, like, choose which direction you're targeting. But, like, you have to Valken grip the controller to do that, and it kind of sucks. So there's just some settings that should be changed if you're going to play it a little bit more seriously. And then just learning, like, what items are good, which moves are good. A lot of the Pokemon, because as you level up the Pokemon, you get the option to pick one of two moves, which I actually think is a cool mechanic. But the only problem with that is 75% of the time, you're going to want to go with one specific build every game. Like,
I mean, that's Heroes of the Storm.
Oh, that's fair.
Heroes of the Storm also had, you could choose what ability you got, and 9 times out of 10, you're a moron if you didn't choose a specific one.
Okay, I've never played Heroes of the New Earth, so I didn't know that. But
Storm.
Yeah, it's yeah, Heroes of New Earth. What am I saying?
Going way back.
An incredibly dead game.
Yeah. But it's fun, and so far I'm having a good time, like, learning the different roles. It's the thing where, like, again, the meta is, like, starting to form around, like, what Pokemon you should be playing in what role, and, like, what they should be, like, what you should be trying to do. It definitely has the problem where when you get into a lobby, it's like people try to auto lock certain roles in certain Pokemon, and you're like, okay, I guess I'm playing Snorlax again. That being said, Snorlax, incredibly fun to play as a support. Because you just knock the hell out of people and you never die.
Hell yeah.
Snorlax.
One man right there.
I'm so torn on this fucking game because I like MOBAs as much as someone addicted to MOBAs does. Mm-hmm. I love Pokemon. Mm-hmm. But like, I've just heard so much bad stuff about the balance, and I know about the microtransaction shit. But also, like, I do want to just absolutely shit on kids as a fucking Crustle.
Dude, I'm telling you, let's have a stream where we five man a fucking squad and just wreck house.
Do it. It's free, right?
It's free. You
know, we do that right now instead of talking about the bad stuff.
We really could. We really could.
What? Say to the cast, just kidding. Pokemon Unite stream.
I mean, no, I'm not.
That's the kind of chaos I'm here for, baby.
That would be pretty amazing.
Wait, can we make that one of our community items for tomorrow?
Wouldn't really be a community stream.
Look, the community's here. They're taking part.
Can we do custom games with the community?
I don't know if it has custom games.
Can they tell us what Pokemon to play?
That'd be kind of fun. Ooh, I mean, we probably would only have like five Pokemon available each to pick, but
I mean, still something.
I only want to play Crustle.
We can talk about it. Pridge, how are you feeling on the Pokemon games? I know you're both playing that.
I mean, I've only played two games of it.
Oh, okay.
I played it when it came out, but honestly, just like have been doing so much other stuff, I haven't gotten around to playing it more. I do want to mess around with it a little more. I've just been playing other stuff. Mm. I mean, my two games were fun. My team won tremendously easily. I was the highest scoring player on my team both times.
Yep.
Talonflame for life.
Talonflame's pretty fun.
Turn my little bird dude into a kick-ass falcon bird. I one time used fly to dodge someone's attack, and I felt like yelling pro gamer move.
Is this Faker playing Pokemon Unite right now?
Yeah. Made a pro gamer move. But no, I mean, yeah, obviously, much like Zach said, it's a very simple MOBA, but it is kind of fun. Mm-hmm. For a free game, it's worth trying at least if it looks could in any way interest you.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, the monetization issues are going to prevent it from ever being a truly good competitive game. But if you're just looking to fuck around and play a funny little Pokemon MOBA, it is fun.
Do you think the Pokemon company has the like ability to support a competitive Pokemon game that isn't the card game?
I mean, they're not the ones making this, so
yeah. And also, this game is funded by Tencent.
I know Tencent funded it. Who's the dev team?
I think it was a Tencent dev team.
Oh, I thought it was Game Freak.
I mean, I'm sure they were involved in some capacity.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, but
you can't make Pokemon without...
But I thought this was an in-house game.
All right, one sec. I got it.
Timmy Studio Group.
Timmy is a Tencent.
It's a Tencent subsidiary.
Okay, yep.
I thought you were going to say it was like Timmy and then like a last name starting with an S, like Timmy Sanders, and like one guy made this.
it's a child in his parents' basement just like, I love Pokemon.
I made the Pokemon game. You get them, Timmy. You get
them. I think they're adding Gardevoir this week or next week or something.
They did.
Yeah.
They did already.
Okay. Way to go, Pokemon. You're on there.
In the beta that they had leading up to it, in different regions, there was like select Pokemon. And I know we're getting Clefable. And I think two other Pokemon like are confirmed to be coming soon.
Oh, cool.
So I'm like, okay, that's cool. Like they're going to continue to support this and you know keep doing stuff with it, which is nice.
Yeah, but when's Crustle 2?
You can't make a sequel. You can't make a sequel to something perfect, Chris.
That's true. You know, you got me on that one.
It's Strong.
Krustle is actually dope, and I am like
just love
seconds away from unlocking Krustle, so I'm like, I can't wait to play Krustle.
All the iconic Pokemon across the era, and are caught, like, and Pokemon they want to, like, you know, they want to build on, like Zoroark, because they see money in them hills. They're like, oh yeah, and also this big fucking crab is also a rock.
They have fucking Cramorant in here as like
they love Cramorant. Cramorant has been featured in every single Pokemon piece of media since the release of Cramorant. That's not a joke. That is a true thing.
God damn.
Someone at Game Freak loves Cramorant.
I mean, here's the thing. I don't dislike Cramorant. I think it's a cool design. It's like stupid.
It's the only Pokemon that has appeared multiple times and not been beaten by a Pikachu. It always beats Pikachu.
Where do you have the stats on that?
There was a video about it like a couple months ago. This might be wrong by now. But like, Cramorant has a special model in Sword and Shield when it eats a Pikachu that doesn't have when it eats any other Pokemon.
That's amazing.
I love this Pokemon.
That's up.
Yeah, actually, I am now remembering that. This was a video that came out roughly around the release of Pokemon Sword and Shield that was like, what the fuck's up with Cramorant?
That's so good. I love Cramorant. Not to belabor the point too much, we also have been playing Death's Door. I am literally right before the final boss, but I had to stop playing the game to do the show. I'm pretty upset about that, not going to lie. I just finished it. I think it's a pretty great game. What I said earlier was it has a lot of Zelda flavor, but the combat's actually good. There, I said it.
Like 2D Zelda, right?
Yeah.
No, Bridge, no, where are you at on this?
Hey, when I clip that for the use, that 2D Zelda part, not making it in.
Clip it, post it in the Zelda chat. You cause a riot.
Big fan.
This guy hates Zelda.
I fucking hate Zelda.
Bridge, where are you at on Death Store?
It's a great game. I really, really enjoyed it. It's one of those things where, like, it's got a nice aesthetic. It's fun to play. You know, good length, a good crisp, you know, 6-7 hour story with a few extra hours of endgame content afterwards. I'm currently deciding how much the endgame content I really want to do, but I've done some of it. Combat's fun. Good mix, you know, using spells. The way they do health and your sort of mana is pretty interesting. How you have to sort of, you only can get health back by visiting these plants that you plant throughout the world.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that.
Oh, that's cool.
So you have to be cautious about when you heal, because unless you leave the area and come back, the health points don't respawn.
Yeah. But when you leave and come back, all the enemies respawn. So it's kinda
So you sort of have to balance when you want to heal, which is a really nice touch.
Mm-hmm.
I think my only complaint about the game is there was one mechanic where I was waiting for a spell or an item to be able to do something, but then I realized I could do it the entire time.
And I know exactly what you're talking about, because I just found that out literally right before we did the video, and I was like, are you fucking serious? I could have been doing this the whole time?
The sewers, right?
Yep, the fucking sewers.
They forget to organically explain that to you.
Yep, and the game is so good with tutorializing you without tutorializing you.
They just missed one part.
Doesn't explain.
It misses. There's one like NPC who mentions it, but I had already looked up online how to do it. Because I'm like, wait, I beat the game. Why can't I get into these sewer grates? I look it up, and like 10 minutes later, I talk to a random NPC who's like, hey, you see those sewers on the ground? I bet if you hit them from a high place, you could bust through them. And I'm like, fuck you.
Yep.
That's my only true complaint about the game, is they completely forgot to organically tutorial you how to
do
that.
Say, that's very 2D classic Zelda, though. It's a very 2D Zelda thing to do.
Forgetting to tutorial you is an homage.
And it's the thing that those sewers really only hold extras. There's nothing.
Right, you don't ever need them. So that's why I beat the game without knowing how to enter them.
Because I kept seeing them, and I was like, oh, are these, like, warp points? Like, I have to, like, learn a spell to use them to warp somewhere. And then I learned all the spells, and I was like, why the fuck do I not know how to do this yet? And then... let me ask you this question, Pridge, because one of my gripes about the game, and this is just because this is how I like to play games, is it really asks you to backtrack if you want to get all the unlocks. And not just, like... some cool secret stuff. Like, there's a lot of shit that you have to, like, oh, once you learn this spell, you can go back to the first biome, and now you can get like three different things there that you couldn't get the first time. But after you finish the biome after that, you're going to get another spell that you could go back and actually get three more things. So part of me is like, well, I'm just going to wait
until I go. If the game was bigger, that would frustrate me.
Yeah.
But since it's not that big of a game in the first place, there's only arguably four biomes.
Yeah.
The three specific ones, then the sort of hub one. Mm-hmm. So if the game was bigger, I would totally agree that that's obnoxious. But since it's not that big of a game, it's like, okay, get all the spells, then I can go backtrack through places.
Fair.
And I'm now backtracking through them again because I'm going to be doing post-game stuff. So it's a little but I don't mind it because no area is that big.
Did you actually collect enough of the shrines to upgrade either your health or magic at all?
I beat the game with one health up, and that's it.
Because I got to the third biome boss, the beast, and I still only had four health and four magic, and I was like, I gotta go back and get this thing is kicking my head in. And so I did that, and I was like, okay, I beat this boss. It was fine. But
yeah,
like,
no, I beat the game with only having gotten four health shrines. I mean, I'd actually gotten six health shrines, so I was close to getting a second health and three magic shrines. And speeding the game by now, I got my fourth magic one. So
gotcha.
Okay.
The game's good. The it has really great pacing as far as like the combat and the puzzle solving. The combat is fun. The puzzles are like they never are too tough to make you be like, I don't know what the fuck to do, but it's always like, oh wow, that made me feel smart. And it has a absurd amount of secrets to the point that some of it frustrates me, but I'm like, that's fine. It's just the way I like to play versus others. Also should be mentioned, the dialogue in the game is like walks such a good line of like being serious and telling this interesting story of this interesting world, and then it will just like the first boss in the game is the Urn Witch, who is just like an old grandma who has a pot on her head because she believes it'll give her immortality, which it kind of does, but anyways, there's like one like as you're exploring her biome, which is her house, she like keeps popping up and is like, oh, I wouldn't do another thing if I were you. And then, like, there's like you keep doing stuff, and at one point she just pops up again and goes, "All right, you little shit."
the first NPC you meet is Ball Plart, the security guard.
Yeah,
it's literally just Paul Blart.
Game of Ball the Plart. Year.
Yeah, there's some like really fucking good like random comedy in this game that made me go like, that's fucking funny. Okay. Also, it does a really really good job with like font. The fonts in the game. Love me a good font.
Love a good font.
Okay, it's Xbox and PC only, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I do want to play that one.
And it is not on Game Pass. You do have to pay $20 for it.
It's not expensive though, so it's.
No, yeah, I mean it's definitely worth $20. I'll say that for sure.
Yeah,
Chris, what you been playing, my dude?
Two games and two games only. Well, three games if you count Pokemon RPG Maker, which you shouldn't. Two games and two games only. One, Guilty Gear Strive.
Have you not talked about that on this show yet?
No, I wasn't on the last.
He wasn't on the last one.
Oh my god!
And the one before that, which was like the day it came out, we didn't do. What we've been playing, so we had too much to talk about.
Right.
So I haven't talked about it. Game, good. Balance of game, questionable.
Dolphin.
Okay. The fucking dolphin. So the dolphin is bad. For those of you who don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, in Guilty Gear Strive, Mei, who is a character as a Guilty Gear regular, they have a dolphin attack in which they fly towards you while riding a dolphin, basically. They're like holding on the side of the dolphin.
Amazing.
It's whatever. It's a variant of an old move she used to have. That's all fine. The dolphin is fucking good, and it's really easy to do because it's a dust attack, or whatever the fuck they're called now, slashes. And everyone complains about the dolphin because it's a fucking pain in the ass, and it crosses the whole screen, and everyone's like, oh my god, the dolphin. You can simply punch the dolphin.
Ah, good.
Amazing.
So I want to just cover the broad scope of it with the dolphin isn't that bad, punch the dolphin. However, The fact that you can do mix-ups, different speed, cancel the dolphin. The amount of dolphin tech is untenable.
Wait, the dolphins got canceled? Chris, what do they say? What do they tweet about?
More hand jobs.
Can we finally cancel dolphins? They know what they did.
Yo, I fucking hate dolphins. Not even a joke. Okay, anyway. May is bad, however. Fucking Soul Bad Guy is the biggest problem that game has and will have going forward. Yeah, I mean, well, he's also the good guy.
Goddamn.
Fucking Guilty Gear.
I will say, what little I know of Guilty Gear's lore, best game of the year, best game maybe of the past 20 years, it's amazing.
Guilty Gear's lore is like if Hideo Kojima and Yoko Taro had a beautiful, beautiful child.
Oh my god, wow.
And like, no one ever told that kid, you can't write that in a video game. game's great, lore is fucking stupid. I hate everyone that plays Ramblethal because they're all sweaty nerd virgins on the internet. Fucking fight me. Gold Lewis Dickinson is the newest character added.
I love that.
It's a great name.
He is the amazing secretary of brackets absolute defense. He swings around a coffin filled with an alien. The alien's name and location of where it's from is Area 51.
I didn't amazing. Know it. The coffin had a thing in it. I thought it
That's
was just
amazing.
A coffin.
Amazing.
It has a goddamn alien in it. Behemoth Typhoon. Somebody gets that reference. People have played the game with that reference. I'm going to say it's somebody. Game's fucking cool. I've been playing a shitload of Giovanna, who is the cool lady in the suit, who has a wolf familiar who loves recycling. That's none of that is a joke.
Loves recycling?
Yeah, don't worry about it, dude.
Awesome.
That game is
She's
great.
Out here to save the world, man.
Because I definitely want to do a stream of it at some point. I'd like to get into rank on it, which I haven't really done much of. The matchmaking in this game is so fucking bad. I can't fathom how bad it is. I can't hit a button and fight a person. What the fuck, dude? Other than that, yes, this game is fucking great. It's super fun. I want to play more so we can do a stream of it. And the only other video game I've been playing is everyone's favorite thing I talk about on occasion on this podcast. It's fucking RuneScape, motherfuckers.
Oh, okay. David, what have you been playing?
Okay, fuck y'all.
I thought that was a joke. Yeah, do you want to talk about RuneScape?
I mean, here's the thing. I talked about this last night on fucking local chat. RuneScape is amazing. This game is fucking so good. A couple months ago, I made a new account. I made an Iron Man account, which means you cannot trade with other players and some other restrictions. That's the main ones. Yeah, you're not part of the player economy. You have to go and like gather your own materials, get your own stone or your own drops, or whatever the fuck you need. You can't just, throw money at your problem. And the way it's something that like was designed into the game originally, but then when Old School came out, they definitely leaned more into it, which is the grim reality that your friends will eventually quit an MMO. We all know it's going to happen. RuneScape prepares for the inevitability. That's the only thing I'm saying. No, this game is really fucking good. I've been playing a ton of it. I have, at this moment, 221 quest points, baby. I'm on the way to that sweet, delicious quest cape so I can flex on nerds how I'm better than them. This game is just so fucking good. It's such a pure experience of like I can, when I want to sit down and play the game and like actively participate in the game and do quests and like do boss fights and shit like that, I can. And then when I want to get AFK things and like mining and shit like that, I slide to my other monitor, I work on Pokemon data, I work on actual work, and I have no qualms about saying that. This genuinely makes me more productive as a human being. Because I'm paying more attention and I'm doing things more efficiently. This game is fucking great. If you have any level of nostalgia for RuneScape, I highly, highly, highly recommend Old School RuneScape. If I were to ever say an MMO could be perfect or deserve 10 out of 10, no MMO ever does, by the way. This is as close as it could get for me, personally.
So you know what's a better MMO?
I'm so glad that I have no nostalgia for RuneScape.
Yeah, you know what is a better MMO that I am playing?
Uh-huh.
Final Fantasy 14, baby.
Yeah. I've also played a little bit of that. Mostly.
So our good quote-unquote friend over at Subpixel, Ian, sounded the klaxon.
America's most wanted, Ian Gibson.
He sounded the klaxon a couple weekends ago. I think it was the Sunday after our last Save Data cast, and he was like, "Yo, we've been talking about it. We're doing it, baby. We're playing Final Fantasy 14." And I was like, that's all I needed. I just needed someone to say we're doing it. So I downloaded it, got that sweet, sweet free trial, can play up to level 60 for totally free. And listen, I'm level 54 now. It's been two weeks.
Yeah, he's deep. He's fucking, he's
wow.
He's
awesome,
I have gone through.
Thank God you don't have a real job right now, dude.
Oh, yeah, no. As soon as I have a job again, this game's gone. so I'm just trying to eke out everything I can while I'm still unemployed. But man, I am having such a good time with it. It is, at least from level 1 to 50, not at all different from World of Warcraft. They're the same game. There are a few things that are more beautiful in Final Fantasy 14 because it came out later and has a more artistic style instead of a cartoony style to the way the game is. So it is honestly most of the time prettier. I think the environments though, for the first most of the game are not that great or exciting.
Realm Reborn's environments are not very pretty. I will say Heavenswords and Stormbloods are substantially better.
They're not very pretty. Cause they've rebooted the game in the course of like a couple years. So that's what's going to happen. And you can like, from what I'm playing now that I'm getting into the post-game Realm Reborn stuff, where I'm not quite into Heavensward, you can tell the difference in quality because they're post-launch stuff. Very well done. More things are voiced. The voicing is better because they didn't just take the first take and move on. they weren't under the gun on time for this sort of stuff. The environments are cooler. Like, all the late-game stuff, way, way better. I'm really enjoying it. I think the job system is simultaneously really cool and also terrible. Because it's cool that you can be any class on your character. You don't have to make an alt. So I'm like a little 54 ninja. If I want to go and decide that, you know, I'm not liking this anymore, I want to try something else, I can use the same character and just go level Black Mage or something. And it works great. When it comes to the crafting things, you have to like switch jobs to even gather, which is annoying, and I think they should change that, and I'm shocked they haven't at this point. But overall, I'm really enjoying it. One thing that they do better than the MMOs I've played is, and that's mostly WoW, when they tell you that you have to go get 4 wolf livers for some stupid bullshit, every wolf has a goddamn liver. It's not World of Warcraft where you kill 10 wolves and you're like, how do only 2 of these have livers? How are these wolves alive?
the other wolves had their livers destroyed by terrible alcoholism.
Like, yeah, man, don't be so judgmental, okay?
And if you read the lore Bible, you'd know that.
The lore Bible is basically you damage the liver in killing the wolf. And I'm like, bro, fuck off. Yeah.
I wasn't using my liver gun.
Overall, though, I'm having a fun time. I've played most of the dungeons at this point through just Duty Finder. Most people have been cool. I've only encountered one person that I was like, wow, you're kind of a douche. And that's pretty good out of like multiple dozen. Like, that's a pretty good ratio. I don't remember.
Really quick question, because David, you haven't paid, right?
I just bought it this week.
Okay. Archaeopteryxidae is how I'm choosing to pronounce that, because good lord, I have no idea. Says you can play up to level 60 for free in Final Fantasy 14, but you can't make a party or have other new people you're playing with join.
Correct.
That's just true.
And is there other things that have like kind of hindered you at
all? Yeah, there's
I wish I like they're trying to get me to pay right now.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything horrible that they restrict in the free trial. You can't make parties and you cannot send friend requests, but if there is someone, so say you have a group of 4 people, because most of the parties are 4 in this game, that are playing together, if one person buys it, they just make the party for you to go do dungeons.
Okay.
And then it's not a big deal.
Gotcha.
And same for like raids and full parties versus light parties and stuff. So it's not too bad. and like you can't send in-game messages to people. You can just say stuff out loud, even to the people. It's kind of annoying, but honestly, in this day and age, you're friends with them on Discord anyway, so like who cares?
Oh yeah, good fucking point.
Yeah. So when this game was like early on in its rebornness, which I think was like 2013, yeah, that would have been annoying.
Rebornness.
But
it's rebirth.
I know exactly what you
mean.
Yeah,
there we go, that's the word I meant. but in the year 2021, have Discord. I can just hit the group up and be like, hey, you want to get on? Cool, let's just hop on Discord. So it really isn't a hindrance at this point. I think the only time it was a hindrance was like I helped some guy who was about to die to random monsters outside of a dungeon, and he was like whispering me messages, like telling me thank you, and I couldn't respond.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Thank you, kind stranger, as David flies off into that.
Pretty much. Well, no, because I was
thinking of the Chocobo theme song.
I was mostly AFK because this was like lower level, and I was literally just stealthed in a bush waiting for my cue to pop, and this guy was like dying, and I'm like, oh, so I killed the thing and I stealth went back to the bush and like alt tab to do more job applications. And then like 20 minutes later, or not 20 minutes, like 10 minutes later, I looked and he had messaged me and I just had ignored him. I was like, oh, well, my bad. Couple other games I've been playing that I won't talk too much about.
Really
one...
quick, before we go on to that, Archaeopteryx Gadai again says, so wait, there's no benefit to partying up in Final Fantasy XIV? We're just doing the beginning quests at the moment.
Oh, so like if you party up, you can do quests together and it's way faster. That is a straight up benefit. Also, you do not need to be in the same party to do quests together. Because like, it's not
unless
like...
those quests have like an instance like thing.
Yeah, gotcha. Unless they have an instance thing, but like for the most part, if there's a monster you have to kill for a quest and you both have to kill it, as long as you both deal like more than what is like 10% damage or something to it, it will count for both of you. So,
oh, that's rad.
Yeah, they're I will give this game a lot of credit, and they definitely have prioritized making the game both easy to play and to not make you mad at people. Until you get to raids, that's when you start getting mad at people. But before raiding, it's very difficult to get mad at someone because the game almost is built to prevent it. Yeah, the other game, I don't think I talked about this last time. I played Inside for the first time.
Oh
my god.
I was looking for a quick game to play between other games. I think it was before we did the Final Fantasy XIV thing. I was looking for something to play. And so I played Inside for the first time, which I had a lot of fun with Inside. I didn't think it lived up to the hype that people gave Inside.
Fair.
It was cool. I liked some of the puzzles, especially the like mind control-y puzzles were very cool. I had a really good time with those.
That section's great.
The water sections I hated, which... welcome to video games with that.
Yeah.
And then the very end of the game I really liked, but it was also very weird. And so it was a fine game. I had a good, like, overall I feel positively on it. I didn't really think it was this deep thing that people made it out to be. I just think people need to...
You just don't understand it, David.
I probably don't, but like I also think people
you might be right.
You might be right. Like, I'm not gonna argue against that. I just think like games that don't necessarily have a happy ending doesn't mean it's super artistic or great. I just think people are too used to a happy ending. So and that juxtaposition to the rest of games make people go like, oh, magnifique, this game is fantastique, and they're wrong.
Why are they French?
Game
why are they French?
Oh no, it made them French. My god, it's contagious.
David Cage, what have you done?
Oh, no.
Yikes.
Yeah, overall, I did have fun with it. I'm not saying it was a bad game. I just, like, for me, it was like a 7 compared to like the 8 or 9s it got from a lot of other people. And honestly, I might even go more towards 6 on my scale, which is like a 7 on the like IGN scale. But
wow, you know what's wild? I literally just looked up Inside, googled Inside, and like the a ton of different things that came up, and first is now Bo Burnham's Inside. Like, is, Yeah, of course.
Yeah, yeah, Inside also not great for SEO. Like, that's No Moon, the new studio. And the last game I've been playing that I'm not very far into, so I will not talk about it long at all, is Returnal.
Oh, you
It was on it was on sale, I think, last week for like $40, so I picked it up.
Okay.
Because people said, like, even though it's a roguelike, people were like, oh, even though it's a roguelike, it, like, it won't be that many runs, you'll be okay. I'm like, okay, cool. And at this point, I'm not that far yet where I'm not irritated yet, so I'm pretty sure I'm going to get there. I've done, I think, three runs, and on the third run, I beat the first biome boss. Got to the second biome, got a little while into it, and then got murked by a thing, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. That thing seemed kind of unfair, but I imagine I won't feel like that for long. And then I was like, I should probably take a break from this for a couple days, because I'm gonna hate redoing the first biome again, because I know myself. So I'll probably play this one. It'll probably take me a long time to actually play through it, because I will 100% take breaks between beating biomes, because I will hate starting from the beginning again. Roguelikes are stupid in a horrible genre, and I will not be convinced otherwise.
Join us, David. Join us.
David, man who usually has such good opinions, but always has his one terrible opinion.
Listen, if the
we all have our one.
No.
Yeah, everyone's entitled to one.
Listen,
RuneScape's a good game.
If the crucial mechanic, if the crucial mechanic of your game is replaying the whole fucking game over and over again to finally get to the ending, your game's a bad game.
Different.
No, it's really not. It's really not. It's really not.
The rooms are different.
Oh, it's out of the nine different shapes of rooms, I only got five of them this run. Holy shit. Yeah, no, you will never convince me otherwise. Roguelikes are terrible as a genre. There are some examples where they're okay. Hades is one of them, but yeah, no. Talking about terrible things, let's get to the topic of the show.
Also, Neo the World Ends With You, good game so far.
Oh, sorry, Pritch. Nice. Yeah, talk about. Let's. I skipped you because I thought you only had those two games.
Specifically, talk about that game.
Yeah, so. Let's. Pritch, go ahead and talk about that before we get into that.
I've played like 7 or 8 hours, and I'm having a really good time so far.
Oh wow, okay. So you're in it a little bit.
Oh yeah, yeah. I played a good like 3-4 hours both Wednesday and Thursday. Yeah, I mean, it looks obviously all the same aesthetic still there, which is the best part of it. Visually, it's very cool, and the soundtrack's bitchin'. But I mean, obviously there's a combat system that's much more approachable and user friendly and not dual screen requiring nonsense. And they've also cleaned up a lot of other just like, you know, small quality of life improvements that you'd expect from a game that came out, you know, a decade later.
Yeah.
So again, you know, it'll obviously be a while before I can judge the story, which is the other thing I really enjoyed about the original, but for the most part, I'm really enjoying it so far.
Oh, yeah. Chris, did you have questions? You seemed excited for this.
He answered. I was going to ask what he did about the dual screen bullshit. It sounds like they just remove it entirely, or like
yeah. I mean, there's not two screens. There's no way to replicate it. It's much more of you each different pin type. So like your melee pins are all triangle inputs. Your bullet ones are all square, and you assign one pin to each person on your team, so it's much more of just a combo based hack and slash now.
I mean, I might be more willing to try it then, because like I do think Worlds of You could have been a good game, but that dual screen system is just so fucking bad.
Yeah, no, it's much more of a combo based hack and slash. You know, if you hit your full combo of melees, it creates a damage bar, and if you combo with a different kind of pin type, it does bonus damage that increases your groove, get your groove to 100%, use a special attack. It's much easier to tell what type of it's much more easier to tell like this does fire, and it's much easier to tell which enemies are weak to fire. So it just plays much more approachable, much more user friendly, much more clear and concise.
Nice.
Would you recommend this game to people who did not play the original?
There's a you don't you don't necessarily need to play the original to play this one.
But
there's going to be so much that isn't going to be as cool to you.
Yeah.
Obviously, like
much like the hit game RuneScape.
Shut the fuck up.
Like, again, one of the first characters you meet is a character from the first game.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and there's like there's so many references to the first game, and I know characters from the first game have a huge role in this game just based on trailers. So while they explain the world enough that you're not going to be confused, you're going to miss so much of character stuff. But hey, if you don't want to play the first game, just watch the anime.
The anime is pretty much a summation then?
Yeah, the anime is just the first game. They obviously changed the order of events a little bit, but yeah, it's just a 12-episode anime that isn't the entire plot of the first game. So if you want to understand all the references to the first game but don't want to play it, just watch the anime.
I might give that a watch.
It's on Funimation. I gave it like a 7.5 out of 10 for a video game adaptation. It was good.
Okay. I mean, that's better than the Tales adaptation, so I'll take that.
I mean, I gave the Tales of the Abyss adaptation like a 7.
Oh yeah, no, that one's fine. I meant Fantasia and Symphonia are pretty bad.
Oh, okay, yeah, I didn't watch those.
All right, now back to Blizzard. Unfortunately,
unfortunately.
Oh, here we go. Let's just fucking do it.
So, for those of you who have not watched Around the Monitor or listened to Around the Monitor in the past couple weeks, or watched gaming news.
A rock.
If you've been living under a games industry rock, let's also make that specific. Like,
I don't know. This is making articles.
It's making real news too. Like, it is hitting real Bloomberg and Axios and some other stuff like that too.
Actually, this is somewhat funny. My office, we have like fancy elevators that have like screens in them with news on them. And it was on both screens with different news articles at the same time.
Oh, damn.
from different sources. And okay. I was like, oh, no.
Okay, it's bigger than I thought it was.
Sounds about right.
So it's at least getting to corporate-ass business folk.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, Activision Blizzard is a nearly 10,000-person-strong company. So they are very large.
Crazy.
As of last year, 9,500 employees.
And 9,400 of them combined don't make as much as Bobby Kotick.
But if you have not heard about this news, so essentially what has come out the past few weeks is the state of California, the California Department of Fair Employment and Housing, has sued Activision Blizzard for essentially bro frat culture, sexual harassment of women, to the point of driving at least one female employee to commit suicide. So there's going to be definitely some trigger content warnings for this. If you're not comfortable talking about that stuff, bail out now. And really, the industry fallout of it has been pretty significant. There is literally everyone is talking about it, bashing Blizzard. This week there was a Blizzard walkout on Wednesday where hundreds of employees were on the street protesting their own company. It was very
literally thousands of them walked out, I believe.
Hundreds in front of Blizzard itself.
40% is what at least said.
Yeah, hundreds in front of Blizzard itself. I literally live down the street from there, so I drove by and there were a lot of people, can confirm.
Wow, I didn't realize you were that close.
Yeah, no, I live on the same street as Blizzard. But like, there are
find Bobby Kotick and eliminate him.
No, he's at Activision. He's not at Blizzard. Sorry.
Damn it. He's got to visit there at some point.
You in this round?
Probably true.
Kotick.
It's probably true.
You
it's
win this true. Round, Kotick.
Oh God.
But yeah, it was wild to see that in front of a video game company, like, because there were a few protesters at like BlizzCon during the Blitzchung stuff. A few people that walked out of Blizzard during the Blitzchung stuff, but that was like they were still on the campus even they walked out. Like, it was a small group by the big Thrall statue. This was hundreds of people publicly outside of the gates of the Blizzard compound, which is a thing.
But I mean, it's like a campus.
Yeah, it's a whole campus. It's pretty big. But I think that sums it up pretty well. There are a few people specifically named at Blizzard in the lawsuit. One was an Alex Afrasiabi, who was like a big senior creative director of World of Warcraft for years. So he was a pretty big one. He departed last year quietly. Now it's assumed that this is why. And there's been a bunch of other silent people that have left over the past years. There's been apologies. There's been horrible responses from Activision Blizzard themselves. It's been a couple weeks in Blizzard news. I think the latest was a thing came out literally this morning or yesterday about a cybersecurity consultant who went to a Blizzard booth at a cybersecurity conference and immediately was sexually harassed. And then Blizzard tried to then hire her firm the next year or a couple years later. And boy, that CEO roasted them. It was great. I'm glad that's public now. But it's overall, it's been a shit show. So there has been a lot of talk of Blizzard. And one of the questions that has been raised largely by the community is how people like us who are more on the influencer podcaster side should handle covering Blizzard, Blizzard games, in the near future at least, and then also how video game press themselves cover Blizzard games, because I'm sure anyone listening or watching to this show is aware all of your news outlets are generally in the past have played Blizzard games. They give it a review score, they tell you whether it's a good game or not, and they might put a thing at the top that's like, hey, by the way, Blizzard's been doing some shady shit recently and have been called out for it. So I really wanted to bring up, because I think I know the answer for some of us. I think there's going to be a little bit of room for discussion of how do you think press should handle. Let's start with press. Let's start with the not us people. So let's start with video game press. And I think, Zach, you started before. So, Chris, let's start with you. How do you think video game press should handle? Do they report on Blizzard games? Do they report on them with caveats? Do they ignore that this is happening? What should they be doing?
The way I see it, there's really four ways about it. There is business as usual, report on everything. There is report on everything with the added caveat of Blizzard. Hey, Blizzard did the big crimes. Ignore Blizzard entirely, or ignore just the games and only report on the case itself. And I'm in the last camp. I'm in the camp of there's nothing to be gained from talking anything about Blizzard games currently. And that sucks. And that's unfortunate. But here's the thing. We live in a world in which there are actions, and actions have consequences. And even if the games didn't fucking do anything wrong, at least, at the very least, the management. And then, of course, there's always going to be the trickle down effect of, like, you know, bad people within the company. Have done bad things, and those actions have fucking consequences, including get fucked. You don't get to be in everyone's good graces for an extended period of time. That's where I'm at.
All right. Bridge, where are you at on this stuff?
I was debating between either caveat or straight up just, like Chris said, blacklist them. And then I realized, wait, no, I totally have an answer for this. You blacklist them. This is something I actually wish sports media would do. Just the one example that always comes to my mind is the boxer Floyd Mayweather, who's committed domestic assault 5 times, and yet ESPN still hypes up every single fight he's in. And I'm like, stop talking about this guy. I don't care how good he is. Just don't talk about him. He doesn't deserve it. And then I realize, yeah, I can just apply that to Blizzard too. Just don't review Overwatch 2. Don't review Diablo Immortal. Just don't. Just you got to find ways to make Blizzard hurt. And blacklisting them from all coverage is one way to make it hurt. So I actually think you just straight up do not review any Blizzard games. Do not tell us about a World of Warcraft update. Do not tell us about Overwatch 2 news, Overwatch 2 esports. Just blacklist Activision Blizzard.
Do you think people should still comment on, like, the developments in the case?
Yes. I still think you can do that, because that's, I mean, I think it's important that people know about that, and that's nothing that helps Blizzard. I would I would just blacklist them from a game's perspective.
Yeah.
My one issue with that is that, sure, your IGNs, your GameSpots, whatever, can choose to not mention that, oh, hey, Blizzard's got a new game coming out or whatever. But then there's still going to be a shit ton of other people, smaller outlets, your influencers, your YouTubers, whatever, who are going to be like, oh, well, OK, I'm going to still do a thing on it. And they're not going to mention this stuff. They're not going to be, because they're here for like, oh, well, people are going to click on my video because they want to hear a review, blah, blah, blah. Like, they're not going to care about it. And it's. That's why I think, OK, no, let these outlets say, OK, hey, Activision Blizzard has released a new trailer for Overwatch 2. This, of course, is the company that just this last, July was embroiled in a scandal over sexual assault. And like, I think that is the way to go, and just have every single article, not put it in the end, not put it in the middle, put it at the start and say, hey, this is the same company, by the way, that is still like ongoing, having an ongoing lawsuit from California, because otherwise people are still going to look up this stuff. Cause as we discussed yesterday, the mass game consuming public doesn't care about the people who make their games, don't care about their life, their situations, their difficulties, the industry, what have you.
A lot of them might also not be aware too. Like,
true.
You have to look for this stuff. Like, it's not totally just going to hit you in the face usually.
They just want the gains. And what I'm saying is, 9 times out of 10, if you're going to Google a game, or if you type X game review, your IGNs, your GameSpots are going to be the first ones that come up. And so then I think those websites do have kind of the, because they're going to have more eyes on them, they have the ability to spread the message and to make more people aware of just like, hey, it's cool that you're excited for this game, but be aware that, you know, some of the people who have worked on it, or, you know, have done horrible things. Yeah. So I personally, I think that's the smart way to go, just because it's going to get reported by somebody, or these games are going to get talked about by people on the internet no matter what. And a lot of them aren't going to care to mention this stuff.
Yeah.
So it's frustrating, because I would love to say like, oh, well, what if just everybody agreed to boycott them and to not mention them? But physically, it's just impossible, which does suck.
See, the problem I have with it is there are, as we said earlier, 9,500 people that work at Activision Blizzard. Mm-hmm. Out of those 9,500, I imagine active participants in like sexual harassment numbering in probably the few hundreds, right? That seem reasonable. Active. Yeah, there's also passive people who don't say anything, but those, while problematic, are not as bad as the people active. And realistically, if gamers stop buying these games, and Blizzard, people stop covering these games, and thus they get less revenue in the long run. Mm-hmm. Bobby Kotick's not taking a pay cut if sales are low.
Yeah, that's
the C-suite's not taking a pay cut if sales are low. They're laying people off, who are most likely the ones who have been the targets of the harassment.
True.
If anything. So,
hey, fair. Blizzard's going to let people off no matter what happens.
I mean, that's also fair.
Because they just like laying people off so Bobby Kotick can have more money.
That's also fair.
As we were starting this topic, I did, just for shits and giggles, check Activision Blizzard's stock value.
Mm-hmm.
It only dropped 8% this week.
Most of that was like one specific day, too, if I remember correctly.
Sorry, no, it dropped like 8.5%.
Sorry, it dropped 8.5% in a week?
That's pretty big.
No. That's pretty fucking big.
True. It dropped like 8.5% in one day, and then it grew 0.5% back in the last like 5 days.
Yeah, that's a substantial drop. As far as what's their price outside?
I believe overall like
$80 now.
Substantial drop.
I believe in terms of market cap and stuff, that was an overall loss of worth of $4 to $5 billion. in a week, which is huge and is definitely hurting their pocketbooks of like, ooh, okay, valuation went down that bad just from this stuff coming out. And that's not even a California has won the lawsuit. The lawsuit has like truly started and gone to court. That's just it was filed.
that's just news breaking. Yeah.
Yeah. So it could get worse from here, and I imagine it will. Like, if it doesn't get worse, I would be shocked. But like, it's tough for me. I'm definitely on the fence on this one. Of like, I would love for like gamers and media to not buy the games and just totally blacklist Blizzard until they fix this shit. But again, the C-suite and the harassers are probably not the ones that are going to be hit, the majority of them. Some of the harassers will get fired. Abusers will get fired. Honestly, even with this dips, that's probably going to happen already. But like,
yeah,
the people who will likely suffer are the victims and those close to victims here.
Yeah, but they're going to suffer no matter what because of how things laid out.
And that's where I'm at, is like, they suffer no matter what. It's rough. I think where I end up is a middle ground between two of your tiers, Chris, whereas I think they should, and honestly, arguably this is more towards petty bullshit than anything, of being like, Activision Blizzard, known sexual harassers of women, release Overwatch 2, and like that's your headline, right?
That I'm kind of
where.
Into. I mean, it would have a certain effect.
Yeah, I mean, and like if you do something like that and you make half of the article, if not more, about the sexual harassment, that at the end you're like, oh yeah, Overwatch 2, 7.8. Like, I honestly think that could be more effective, because at that point you get those people who are just looking for reviews, right? Who Google Overwatch 2 review. They click on the thing. They're like, oh, I'm going to read this. And then like, oh shit. They did all of this. Oh, that's not great. And maybe at that point you affect purchases and stuff more. And at that point, really, we're just talking about journalistic integrity and whether they're supposed to be truly neutral parties, which depending on who you're talking to is vastly different opinions. Because some people just say report on the news no matter what it is, doesn't matter if you agree with it or not, you just report it. That's like your NPR basically, for how they report.
I think there's also a line between like real, like, you know,
yeah,
war reporters and people commenting on fucking is Overwatch 2 any good.
Yeah. that's true. I mean, review score is, in general, it's going to be an opinion, and which point is not a objective review score, right? It's completely subjective to the reviewer at that point. So at that point, the article is already subjective. So yeah, I mean, roast them. I honestly, that's where I think people should be, of make the focus even of your review that Activision Blizzard has been doing this stuff and they're being sued for it. And it's they're fucked at this point. Like, they honestly, they did it. There's enough evidence at this point.
Oh yeah. And the evidence.
Oh, for sure.
And like I said yesterday in the podcast, like that was the initial salvo of evidence. Now that like, it's a huge public thing, only more is going to come out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it already is. More and more people are speaking up about it. So, with receipts, it's not even just like.
Right. Well, yeah. Apparently, it's this is the most documented thing ever, because they I can't, like, it's I don't know what this term is from, but an orgy of evidence is present, where it's like that's from something, I can't think of what it is though.
Real talk. It's a bad term for this situation.
I love that term. An orgy of evidence? It's a great term.
No, I mean specifically for sexual harassment claims. That's a bad term.
That's a bad term.
I didn't think of that when I quoted it. My bad.
Yeah.
That's on me. I was wrong. but no, it's like I cannot believe the amount of photos, like screenshots, like pridefully taken, in boasts, like,
the fact that
the fuck is wrong.
The fact that Blizzard devs or ex-Blizzard devs were able to go to Alex Afrasiabi's Facebook account after after all this stuff came out.
Take him down.
He did. He did after the news stories came up. But prior to the news stories being written about his Facebook posts, he had posts from like group chats that were like, "Oh yeah, bring the women up to the Cosby Suite so we can fuck them." Like, whoa, whoo.
Yeah. It's,
listen, California won this lawsuit already. It's just a matter of, will this actually go to court, and will there actually be like a prosecution, or will Blizzard just settle out of it? Or I should say Activision Blizzard.
Can you settle out of court with a state?
Yeah, he can.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's not a criminal affair. So it's
wild, which to be fair is not a criminal affair.
That seems pretty crazy to me, and not gonna lie, that they can just be like, "Oh, we'll pay a bunch of money. We'll pay half of Bobby Kotick's salary this year." Just kidding. He'll get the rest back in bonuses.
Yeah,
we can't fire. If we fire him, we have to pay him all of his money anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I really hope it doesn't settle, because I think more stuff will come out of how bad this was if it goes to court, and I don't want it to settle. Like, I think the Riot one settled, correct?
Well, the right one settled, I believe.
I mean, But I thought the last we heard was the settlement amount was so low that was being challenged.
Oh, you're right.
Yep.
I don't think we heard anything after that, though. So I don't know if they did a new settlement
amount. Yeah, it was like the people who were going to get money from the settlement were getting like only a few thousand bucks or something like that. Yeah. I was like, what? Okay.
Uber Super Sloth in chat. It's not a criminal affair? Correct. Which is wild.
Yeah.
Wild that sexual harassment
is... What is it? Is it a misdemeanor?
No, it's civil. Like, basically...
Yeah, it's a civil issue. Discrimination is usually a civil issue.
It's a civil issue, and it's generally, from what I know from state to state, it's a civil issue, and usually there is, like, a board or department that brings civil suit against companies.
I'm taking damage from this conversation. Just want that to be known.
And yeah, so if it were criminal, basically for it to be criminal, from what I understand, Pridge, please feel free to correct me if you know the answer to, if victims of like sexual assault and stuff came forward and were to go to the police and bring actual criminal charges forth with evidence and all that jazz and go to court, then it would be criminal.
Yeah, and that would be probably have to be more against individual defendants. You wouldn't be able to say, you know, hey, police charge Blizzard Games with sexual assault.
That does vary from state to state.
They'd have to bring cases against individuals.
That is correct, but it does vary from state to state. I can say for the state of California, if that person who is accused of like sexual assault is basically, the company is also liable.
That's respondeat superior, yes.
Yeah, so, like, basically, if it's one of those things where if it happens, the company is aware and does not discharge the person or make corrective action, they are also liable for criminal and civil charges at that point.
I mean, feel like at some point in the course of this, we're going to be able to get evidence that that happened, right?
Possible, but that's up to victims to bring...
Yeah.
Criminal charges, which is a whole ordeal, and it's difficult. Usually, especially in the game space, those victims get harassed and drugged through the mud. So I literally zero judgment on any women or even men, because there are apparently some men coming forward who have been sexually harassed at Blizzard too. So that's great. But like, honestly,
equal
no judgment.
Shitheads.
Not entirely equal. But yeah.
No.
But yeah, like they would have to come forward, and I blame no women out there in the world who do not want to come forward with their cases, because that shit, it is emotionally and physically intense and rough and often not worth it. So
yeah, it very often will end up getting you blacklisted from your entire profession.
Zero judgment from pretty much all of us here.
Absolutely.
So I think that covers press. I want to talk about influencers and streamers and stuff. So I would consider us under the influencer bucket, right? So we've got a small, tight-knit podcast
group. We're a serious
group.
Games journalism outlet. What are you talking about?
Yeah, okay.
By the legal by the legal media definition, we are an influencer.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I put
we make money producing content around a thing.
So
we have
TikTok
with 20,000 subscribers. We're pretty huge.
YouTube channel with 40,000 subscribers. Why the fuck did you pick the shitty one?
Because it's TikTok. It's more important than YouTube. Duh.
It's false.
And they're all watching TikTok.
That's utterly false.
Yeah, I know. I'm joking.
So influencers like us who do variety content or news and stuff like that. And then there are also specific people who cover World of Warcraft or cover Diablo, and that is all that they cover. Mm-hmm. I'm curious where you all feel about those people. Because I honestly, actually, before we get to those people, I want to talk about us, because I don't think we've done this either in private or public. Of like, hey,
so let's do it in public.
Yeah, let's do it in public. Like, I have no qualms about
what
that.
What should we do, or what should we do regarding Blizzard games or Activision games?
I mean, because I know Chris already didn't like pretty much every Blizzard game, so Chris is probably unaffected by this.
That's true.
Yeah, the only thing that this is going to affect me on is Diablo, and I'm sad about it. But also, there's literally a bajillion games coming out this year. I'm not going to be sad to play a remaster of a game I played a shit ton of hours ago, 20 years ago at this point.
I haven't touched a Blizzard game or Activision game since the Hong Kong thing. So if they lost me there, they sure as shit didn't get me back now.
Yeah. I'm with you there. Like, I was dabbling in Overwatch back then. Not a lot, but occasionally I'd play it with like my roommate, but stopped after Blitzchung. I was like, nope, I'm good. Thought about coming back for Shadowlands, and then reviews were meh, and then also like the Blitzchung stuff was still back of mine. I was like, no, not gonna come back this time, see how it goes. And then when I was considering going back to Shadowlands, we were talking about Final Fantasy 14, all this stuff came up, and I was like, ooh, you know what, probably not.
Shiny MMO, ooh.
But like, honestly, if not for all this stuff coming out, like if Overwatch 2 was coming out this year, I would have gotten it 100%. Like, I really enjoyed Overwatch, and I loved the seasonal events that they did that were PvE. Those were super fun. I had a great time, so I would absolutely hop back in for Overwatch 2 in a normal year. But to be frank, this is coming from someone who is actively applying to games companies and Blizzard. So if Blizzard Recruiter, you're listening, this is where we're at. Just to totally get it out there, like, I would not pay for this at this point in time. I just wouldn't. And like, I don't even think I would. I know someone in the chat saying like, oh well, you can just pirate their games. I wouldn't even do that at this point. I have a bad taste in my mouth, and if it costs money, I'm not gonna go for it. Pirating it, I'm not gonna go for it. Like, stuff, it needs to change. And like, at that point, depending on the rest of all y'all's answers, like, we wouldn't be covering games at that point.
Yeah, I mean, it's the thing where, like, I think this is, it might be the hardest for you out of all of us. Like, again, I was excited for Diablo 2 remasters or whatever the hell it's called. But I'm not that excited for it, I guess, at the end of the day. And yeah, like, this year is absolutely stacked. So I'm just kind of, whatever. It's a bad taste in my mouth.
Not stacked year, would you still play it and just not talk about it?
I mean, I don't know. Probably not. I probably wouldn't. It's a thing where, like in my head, this is an exciting remaster for me, because again, like, Diablo 2 is like one of the most important games to me growing up. But like, now I'm not, you know, I enjoy different games than I did back then. That being said, I probably would enjoy playing this, but like, would I enjoy it enough to pay $60 for it? And then do I think I would get, you know, hundreds of hours out of it like I did Diablo 2 originally? No, absolutely not. And the last time I played 100 hours of a video game, I couldn't even tell you. if you like one video game every year will get me to 60 hours, and that is about it. So I don't know what to say. Like I'm probably not going to be able to get to that. So, and Uber Super Sloths, is there a game company that isn't shitty? It's mostly indies. I mean, larger companies. Yeah.
I would say there are some indies out there. There are some larger companies that are better than others.
Yeah, obviously.
For sure.
Listen, like Activision Blizzard's bad. I like, and other women in the industry have been talking about this online too, of like a lot of game companies are this way. It's just not talked about because they're not as high profile as Blizzard. Like I think even some indies are bad. Like the creator for Night in the Woods, I think.
Yeah, one of
Matt.
And then there was
It was three people. It was Scott, Benson, Bethany, Hockenberry, and Alec Holoka. And Holoka was
Holoka was the one.
Physically and emotionally abusive to a lot of people, actually, but primarily his romantic partner at the time.
Yeah, so like,
and then there's the lead developer of Skullgirls and Indivisible too.
Yeah,
same on. Yeah, fuck that guy.
Yeah, so like, it's still gonna happen, and I think it's just taking when it comes public of essentially just being like, hey, you can't do this, I don't want to say like canceling them, but being like, hey, no, like this is unacceptable behavior. And if it's an indie, it can be individual people. But like if it's a big company like Activision Blizzard, sure. Almost, I almost wish they had not named Alex Afrasiabi in the lawsuit, because that has let Blizzard PR and stuff. It's let so many other people slip. To where like
they can like, oh, it was this one guy, and it's like, no, it clearly wasn't.
Like, oh, this was an isolated instance.
Clearly wasn't.
Yeah, which it clearly wasn't. But like by naming those specific people, unless you're doing it in mass, like if it's a big company like Activision Blizzard and you name one person.
And friggin' one of the things from that the social media posting of the picture of the people posing with the picture of Bill Cosby, the framed picture of Bill Cosby in this hotel suite. People have gone and identified all of the men in that picture, and you've got, what is it, one of the lead VPs at Riot Games.
The lead on their MMO, Greg Street, Ghostwalker. Yeah.
Yes.
Some of the other, there's somebody else from Ubisoft in there. There's so many people, and it's...
Yeah, there were a few I knew by just looking at their face. I'm like, oh, shit. Well, it's like, I mean, even if you're not actively harassing or abusing fellow employees or people below you in the hierarchy, like just by posing with that stuff and enabling it, like I'm curious what Riot Games is going to do about Greg Street at this point, because he hasn't made a public
the
statement.
The fact that they haven't made a statement is wild.
Greg Street made a statement. And
he
did
make a statement that was bad. Yes.
Oh, he did. He hadn't last I looked.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Now he had made a statement.
It was a pretty bad statement.
They're gonna fire him. There's no fucking way. They can't right now.
Yeah, so like that sort of stuff where it is the names of multiple people, 100% down. Like, do it. Roast them. End their careers. But like, and I mean that literally, end their careers. Do not let them work again. Like, you can't do that shit. But if you have a company of 9,000 people, you name one abuser out of hundreds, it's just a scapegoat.
And that seems kind of what's happened with Ubisoft too, because all of their employees are still saying nothing has really gotten solved, even though they fired. I can't even remember their names at this point. Screw them. The heads of multiple studios that were responsible for the toxic workplace culture they had there. Serge Haskell was the biggest one, but like, they polled their employees, and basically most of them still said nothing is really changing here, and they also like made a big post when Activision Blizzard's employees walked
500
out and
plus
said,
Ubisoft
hey.
Employees
hey Ubisoft, you also need to be fixing shit here. And you know, it's depressing because that happened over a year and a half ago that was reported on at Ubisoft, and there hasn't really been meaningful change there. I don't know, it's like we said yesterday, I hope that this leads to some sort of unionization, or at least lasting change in some way, shape, and form. But will it? I don't know.
It's too early to know.
The only thing we can do as influencers and consumers is, again, we can boycott them. We can speak with our wallets because that's the best way to hurt them. But the second best way is to be very vocal about it on social media and to let them know, hey, we are pissed at you. This is not okay. Which will not stand for this.
To be frank, is the entire point of doing this in a podcast.
We've talked
about it around the monitor. I felt that we needed to talk about it here because that audience might not necessarily cross over. I know a lot of you do, but we needed to talk about it.
We have a platform. You know, whether how big or how small it is, we have a platform, and this is an important issue, I feel, and we are pretty much obligated to use our video game podcast to talk about the injustices being done in the video games industry that we consume and enjoy. Yep. So
100%.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Bridge.
I was just mostly going to agree again. I uninstalled Heroes of the Storm and BlizzNet after the Blitzchung event.
Yeah.
And the only Activision Blizzard game I've played since was the Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2 remaster.
I did play Crash 4 last year, and I was like, oh yeah, I forgot that's Activision because that used to be a Sony property.
Yeah. I did uninstall entirely Blizz, whatever launcher is called. BattleNet, thank you. I did uninstall after the Blitzchung thing, and again, they really didn't do anything to improve themselves after that, and this has just made it worse. So I know pretty much not to touch anything Blizzard and Activision related.
For even more transparency, like literally days before this stuff came out, I had reinstalled BattleNet. I hadn't had it loaded up for a long time. And I, like, my roommate and, like, a former colleague of mine were playing a bunch of Warzone. And I was like, oh, you know what? I'll download Warzone and I'll come join you guys one of these nights. Installed BattleNet. Didn't quite get to installing Warzone. This stuff came out. Not installing Warzone anymore. Like, even this free-to-play game, I'm like, I just don't feel right. Like,
your moral obligation and then also the 700 gigs of RAM of the storage that game requires.
I'm not doing it on console, so I got the storage, all right? Like, storage is fine, but it's just like, I was about to, and then it's like, you know, I'm just not going to do that right now. I'm not going to do it. The last thing I want to cover before we call it a podcast here is the people that like exclusively cover Blizzard games, like whether they're only doing Call of Duty, they're only doing World of Warcraft, they're only doing Diablo. Like, from my perspective, like, honestly, no judgment at all if they keep doing what they're doing.
It's their livelihood, and this is completely not their fault. And then all of a sudden one day it's like, oof, the stuff you've been playing is completely tainted, and it's definitely tough. I think they have an obligation again to say something to their audience.
Oh, 100%. Like, hey.
If you just load up, you know, if it's Wednesday when they're doing the freaking walkout and you're just like, oh, here we go, we're jumping into Warzone, boys, let's go. Like, you can't.
Yeah.
That just seems pretty unethical, and I'm not a lot of people who are primarily players of Activision Blizzard games did speak out and say things online and on their streams, and that was really cool to see that. It is a complicated issue because, as it tends to be with streaming, you get known for one thing and you keep doing that thing.
Here's where I'm at with that. I think it's very much a case of, yes, this is your profession, and that sucks that you are now attached to this bad thing. I think at the very, very, very least, you need to be really pushing the, hey, Blizzard's a bad company, as much as humanly possible. Activision, it's not just one of them. But also, I mean, I think it's really fucked to make money off of these games right now.
You gotta make a living, though.
I know, and like, it's so fucking bad. But also,
you could also use that money and donate it. You know,
yeah.
It's really tough. Yeah. I mean, I actually was reading something today. Two big World of Warcraft content creators are actually both switching to FF14.
one of them the world at this point.
One of them actually just claimed that it was because balance issues. It didn't really have anything to do with this whole thing. It just said that World of Warcraft is bad right now.
Bro, you had a free,
yeah, you had a free. You could have took the moral high ground there.
No. Lying about it is not taking the moral high ground.
You're right.
But it is bonus points.
Right.
The other one said it was a combination of the accusations and that WoW's just bad. So both of them also just claimed that WoW was bad, which I thought was kind of funny.
If you're gonna go out saying that they suck as a company, also go out saying that, oh, by the way, your game sucks. Boom.
It's one of those things. I'm gonna be in between you guys. If you can in any way cut out that stuff and still make a living, if you can find a similar genre game, then I think you should try.
Yep.
If you're going to be completely screwed otherwise, I understand. Just, you know, like we were saying, just be honest and say it's shitty. I think you owe it to at least try and see if you can make your money off a slightly less shitty company.
I'm fine with this reality.
Yeah. I mean, if it came out tomorrow that Shu Takumi, the series writer for Ace Attorney, was like a terrible person, it would be like, oh, okay, well, how do we diversify our brand right now? I mean, thankfully, there are other games that have...
Hey, guys, six more Pokemon streams a week, by the way.
I guess we're actually going to play that Danganronpa you've asked for.
Don't give them hope, Zach.
No. but yeah, it's like, it would be rough. We're in a fortunate enough situation where like we do have somewhat of a diverse portfolio of streams. I mean, again,
And this is also
a lot of people tuning in for that Ace Attorney stream, but like
this is something of like the very dark reality of being a Twitch streamer is that you, if you are only known for one exact thing and you haven't
die by that thing,
and sadly in the games industry you had to know there was a chance of exactly this happening, it does happen in this industry because it's a bad industry.
The Doomsday in the chat says Pokemon with a real lawyer just doesn't have the same ring to it.
also I've played like three whole Pokemon games my life.
Oh really? I didn't know you were a big Pokemon person.
When I was younger, I played Red and Blue and I played Silver, and then I got the bundled DS with Pokemon Black and played that.
Pridge.
And then I played Pokemon Unite.
I was going to say, Pridge, me and you, almost exactly the same, except Platinum instead of Black and White for me.
I think it was just like natural akinness that made the three people that know Pokemon the best make the Pokemon stream. Yeah. Like
I don't mind them as games. I don't think they're bad. It's just I prefer different kinds of strategy games.
Really
all it is.
Mm-hmm.
I think so far I'm with you, Pridge, of like, if you are a World of Warcraft streamer, you may want to think about
Final Fantasy 14.
You may want to think about diversifying your portfolio of games.
Blizzard does not make any game, except I guess StarCraft 2, that is the only thing in its genre that's active. Like, if you're a Hearthstone streamer, go play Terra, go play Magic. Those two games, hey, by the way, they're doing fine. In case you're wondering, Magic the Gathering, it's doing okay.
Magic Legends, however. Dead.
R.I.P.
But yeah, no, I think you're right. And honestly, if you're a StarCraft 2 streamer, your game's been dead for a long time.
Yeah, that's your own.
Yeah, what are you still doing?
How are you making any money?
I was going to say, if you're still making money off of that, honestly, Blizzard ignore your game at this point, so just keep doing what you're doing. Blizzard isn't developing on it or doing anything. You should feel no fault in this.
And if you're an Overwatch streamer, how are you still making money?
Oh, Overwatch isn't... I know you hate it, but Overwatch is not a bad game.
Isn't its player base constantly just like dropping, losing people? Recovering.
It's been bleeding a bit, but I think it's still pretty big. Still, could be wrong. Overwatch League is still a thing, so it's big enough for them to support Overwatch.
Yes, but the Overwatch League is also trash.
That's a whole separate discussion.
That's true.
I think we covered pretty much all I wanted to cover. Anything y'all want to mention before we close out here?
I think this is a good discussion. Tune in tomorrow, folks. We will be doing our community stream from 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern time, where you get to play games with us and be on voice chat and all that. So, hey.
I need to message have a good you night. About that after the stream.
Uh-oh.
Somebody has a conflict we forgot about.
That's why we have several people that, that do this channel.
Chris or Bridge?
No. I'll be around tomorrow, so hopefully I'll chat with some of y'all tomorrow.
I'll be around tomorrow for at least a decent chunk of the stream, if not the whole thing.
Be around for maybe a little bit at the beginning. So yeah, tune in, please. It'd be great.
Be seeing you.
I think that's it. We don't have Pokemon or Shadow Tactics.
Monday we're doing something special. Stay tuned.
Yep.
Okay, so Monday
we're replacing our usual Monday stream / Shadow Tactics with an actual ninja with something else, and then we'll be back to Pokemon either the week after or maybe the week after that if stuff happens.
Yeah, and then we'll be doing Ace Attorney as per usual on Wednesdays. So
I also stay tuned Monday normal time 7:30 Eastern.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's Monday. I believe that's the 1st or 2nd of August. 2nd of August. Yeah, so tune in for whatever this surprise is that if I was supposed to know about it, I don't.
David, you're on the stream. No, I'm kidding.
So
are you on the stream? I think you might be on the stream, dude.
I mean, that's fine.
I also don't know what's going on Monday, so
we'll talk about it in a minute. So that's going to do it for Save Data Cast. Thank you for tuning in, whether it be on YouTube or on podcast services. If you are watching on YouTube, please go give us a rating on a podcast service or all of them of your choice. Super helps us out. Just search for Save Data on any of your podcast networks. And if we don't pop up, let us know, because we will add that network to our list of networks.
Also, if you're watching this on YouTube and you're still watching this video at this point, give it a like and comment, please, because that also helps a lot.
Yes, it's true.
It helps tremendously and takes nothing away from you.
Yeah, it's free.
Literally comment, I'm doing this for the algorithm, and we'll be like, ride or die right there.
Oh, no, I will give it a heart and say, you to homie. So there we go.
I might even pin it.
Yeah, that's fair. If you comment algorithm on this, the first person to do it gets pinned to the top. They're the hero of this episode.
The challenge.
All right, that's gonna do it. Have a wonderful weekend and week. See you next time.
Peace.